Welcome to it, episode 20 of the On The Bounce show. Thanks for being with us here today. Now, last week we had some technical issues, and I've got to clear this up right now. Of course, we're trying to evolve the show, make it more entertaining, more enticing for you. And of course, that means that every now and again, we will change it up with our technology, our hardware, if you will. So we tried different microphones, and unfortunately, much like Arsenal, they just didn't perform last week. But also like Arsenal, we are back this week and we're still in it to win it. So thanks for being here. We've got a big show today. We're going to take a bowl at cricket. Now, we don't talk a lot about cricket on the show. Well, Sandile Maas off about how cuck the Proteas are.
And we're going to get into that today. I promise you that.
That doesn't quite count. Today, we're going to have a proper look at cricket, the game, what's good, what's bad, what you might be pissed off about with it, or what you might still like about it. Because I think it's a very good discussion. We're about to go into a huge summer. There's also a huge weekend of huge weekend of cricket. See, I'm already so cricket-focused.
Please just move on.
There's a massive weekend with UFC finally giving us a great card in Abu Dhabi for UFC 308. We've got the URC, we've got English Premier League, of course, with huge matches like Arsenal versus Liverpool. We've also got the Premier League here in South Africa. Yeah. So yeah, it's a huge show ahead. As always, joining me for this will be Sandile.
Here we are. You guys know.
Look how smug he is.
You guys know what we're going to talk about.
His team's finally won.
You guys know the glory that we're going to talk about. and usually I don't do this, but James, can you just come give me a hug? Because, you know, we're champions. We're winner, winner,
guys,
chicken dinner.
This is how we get into HR. This is how we bring HR into the show.
We did it, buddy. We did it.
Okay, well, so we've got Sandile, we've got James, obviously in the shadows, and of course you joining us at home, at the office, wherever.
Yes.
So Sandile, your team did win. Well done. You asked for the prayers and they were answered.
And you know, guys, first of all, home base, I thank you so much for giving me all your prayers, all your good energy, your vibrations. I'm going to start here. Guys, you guys saw it. Electrifying Diski, 4-0. It looked like it was going to be 8. I mean, I was salivating.
What you're saying is your execution isn't so great.
Look, we'll take the 4-0. I mean, nobody just goes and walks over Supersport like that. But even better, because my enemies are all down as of last week. Did you guys see Pirates lose 3-2?
In a cup.
In a cup.
Oh, in a cup.
I mean, if God is not good, God is great. So it was super awesome. Kaizer Chiefs, thank you. I even had to bring it. I didn't know which one to wear. You know, usually in the past couple of weeks, everybody's been giving me hell. So, you know, this week I was conflicted. Do I do it this side? Do I do it this side? So I'm super excited. Then we talk about the glory itself. Man United finally winning. And like I said, my enemies are down.
Well, and
Hold on, Ben. Like I said, my enemies are down. I'd like you guys just to zoom in there. And remember the guy who said it was going to be a walkover. Somebody said it was certified. Somebody said it is guaranteed.
I also heard someone saying Arsenal are winning the Premier League.
So you're talking about me here.
So, you know, usually I get smacked around on the show about Man United. I'm not going to make it about me. Ben, how you feeling?
Guys, it's early in the season. What's been Arsenal's biggest problem previously? Bottling it at the end. If anything, I'm actually kind of happy. Because now they're in the slipstream rather than being out in the front, catching all the headwind. I think it was masterful. Saliba, absolute fantastic decision to make that ref challenge. Go down to 10 men. Because Arsenal know, if they've got 11 men, they win. 10 men, they drop points. So they were like, we're taking a tactical here. We're going to drop the points against Bournemouth.
I'd like to tell you guys, that's a whole bunch of bullshit that Ben is saying. In his heart, he's heartbroken, and he knew he had to face me today.
I was so broken.
Because you just look at all the tweets, I said, I could not wait for this week to start and see Ben. It's been electrifying. And somebody else, Michaela, is somewhere hiding.
It's interesting to not see her here today.
All that bullshit she was talking about Man United in that F1 skit. I know me and that guy in that shirt are looking for Michaela and saying, Michaela, where you at? You guys drop points again. And James, I don't usually do this, but shout out to you.
Cheers, buddy.
It is so awkward being in the middle of you two here in the show. There's like this strange bro energy, which I don't mind into.
You know, I love it. You know, Ben, anytime Man United win and Arsenal loses, Pirates lose and Chiefs win, you probably won't hear me say this for the rest of the season, but it is great. And, you know, it's going to be super exciting. And let me say it now. Sundowns, we're coming for you. We saw the draw. We're going to shock the world once again. And I'm putting it out there.
I feel as the guy in the middle, I'm going to step in here because you can be euphoric, but let's not get delusional here. Pirates are still winning the Premier League. So look, we're going to get more into the football, of course, because there is a huge amount of really good fixtures coming up. As I said, Arsenal are going to redeem themselves. Last night, Tuesday night, they already redeemed themselves by comfortably beating Shakhtar Donetsk. I know it was 1-0, but that's enough. It's comfortable. Comfortable.
You guys didn't even score. It was an own goal.
Yeah, but then we missed a penalty out of sympathy for them. We got it done.
How are words like sympathy used?
Okay, I know. I'm on the back foot here with the football. So we're going to come back after the break, and we're going hard in the cricket. That sounds wrong.
That's what she said.
But this is the conversation I wanted to have for quite some time. Catch you back after the break.
People that are like, Chris Brown, and there's people that are like, how can you support Chris Brown, the woman abuser?
Fuck. It happened. He really went through it for quite a long period after that. There needs to be a standard where it's like, okay, Chris Brown, he was young, Rihanna was young, they were obviously in a tumultuous. You have a girlfriend.
But I'm not going to moor my medi, bro.
No, don't moor her, definitely. Never ever moor her. But I'm sure you can understand that lovers quarrel. And he did cross the line. I'm not justifying. I'm not saying Rihanna probably said some shit. No, yeah. I'm saying cool. He crossed the line, but he was a young boy. And then post that episode, he's done the work, in my opinion.
Karuchi? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, you see.
No, it's like I also agree with you. It's like, yeah, he took some time. But then some people are like, okay, yeah, he moved up, but he can dance. So I'm going.
Some people are not prepared.
Like
some people just look the other way.
So, a pretty exciting time for cricket of late. The women's Proteas team, of course, getting to another T20 World Cup final. They did lose it again, but let's not be too negative about that. The Proteas are currently in Bangladesh, doing a pretty decent job in their first test against Bangladesh. And KG Rabada reached a milestone that we were hoping he would have reached about 4 years ago. But, of course, we don't play enough test cricket.
Yep, we don't.
Sandile, I'm going to open up with you here. Yep. Did you watch the match on Sunday? How optimistic were you and how sad were you on the Proteas women's result?
Look, there's something about Proteas and finals, but, you know, I was...
But you still watch, which I'm impressed
by. Yeah, I watched. I jumped in. But, you know, I think we had all that adrenaline, and we always say this about Proteas teams. Going to a big semi-final, you play in Australia, you know, they're former champions. Feels like we left everything there, and we thought when we go face New Zealand, walk over, we've beaten the previous champions, we're just gonna, you know, casually win that game, and we got smacked around. We failed it absolutely terribly. Yeah. The run chase was, you could feel the desperation. I mean, when we got to 10 and over, you know, we were just swinging and missing, and, you know, lost over, we needed to chase 35 runs. But what I can say is, Proteas women's cricket is in such, I said so many words, the Proteas women's team is in such a great position because I think we can build off this. I think, I think the bowling attack is something that improved so much more. You know, we've seen Mlaba come through and be the superstar that she is, you know, being one of the first Proteas to, you know, get double digits in that format of the game. As disappointing as it is not to lift, but I think there's so much more positives outside of, you know, that than, you know, the men's guys.
So the big thing for me in my kind of watching from semi afar, I'm not going to try and pretend like I'm the biggest women's Proteas fan, but continuity and selection, you've got the same faces and I've now gone through another pretty successful World Cup.
Right.
Little things of professionalism, like certainly less injuries.
Yeah.
Whether it's a better medical team, better systems, better protocols that go through this. The whole thing about women's sport in general is that they're obviously going to be a few generations behind in professionalism. But now when you start seeing that, well, just think about it.
Okay, go
Men's
ahead.
Men's professional sport's been around for much longer.
All right. Go ahead.
What do you don't agree?
Go ahead.
When did the women's Proteas start playing?
I have 92? No idea.
No. it's pure numbers.
Yeah,
it's a chronological fact.
Yeah.
But it's great to see. And I think the reason I bring it up is that they now are an example of what continuity, experience, and time in the game actually produces now. That women's Aussie team, right?
Yeah.
Who've won however many, 8 titles, whatever.
In a row, yeah.
Same thing, continuity and selection over like generations. And that's what's really cool. So, yes, didn't win a title. That sucks. Because they would have been the first Proteas team to win a World Cup.
Or anything.
The actual purists would have gone, maybe it's right because the men should do it first.
Oh.
But the women are taking their chances.
But I want to say this now.
There's a bit of a race on between the two, actually.
Which is so sad for the men's game, but we're going to get there. But for me, it's this is probably the last World Cup final they could lose before we start putting the heavy standards that we put onto the Proteas men. Because now we've been there twice. Now it's going to start becoming a mental hump. And we now know they're capable of going that far. Now it's time to get over the hump.
Exactly.
And South Africans are winners. And we're only going to respect you when you get over the hump. So I think as great as it was and all the talent that is in that, the team of the tournament, the next tournament, we're going to have to say we're outright favorites and we have to get to that final. We can't lose in group stages.
Yeah.
This is the standard that they've created.
And be comfortable playing as favorites. Like the Springboks, who we reference all the time because it's the greatest team in this country.
Yeah.
The narrative was always backs against the wall, great team. But now they're pushing on because they need to now play as favorites.
Yeah.
That's the new identity they have to assume. They can't always be the backs of the wall kind of guy win by 1 point. And we've seen the evolution. So it's cool to see that now. Amongst the chat we're going to have today is there's going to be some gripes that I feel like are universal and they're objective. Like, this isn't just us hating on cricket, but currently the Proteas are in Bangladesh for a two-test series. The two-test series. This is the first thing that really gets my goat, as they say. The two-test series is like...
Why not make it three at least?
It's such an almost token thing. It's like, you're playing tests, but we haven't got enough time for you to play a test series, but there's two tests. Because England doesn't have that sort of tokenism. No. Obviously, the big countries have that tokenism.
Yeah.
So now we play, and say it's a great test series, 1-1, cool, done. It sucks.
It's bup. And I want to say something is, I don't know if test, and people are going to fight me. I don't think people care about test cricket anymore unless it goes to day five. I see, everyone, especially with us when we host and on the New Year's test, that's probably all the test cricket we like, And I think... with all the different formats, because they've always tried to make it more exciting.
I want to fight you, but I can't.
Guys, test cricket is the hardest form of cricket to watch. I mean, you're there watching people. It's not exciting for the first 3 days. It's really not. You're watching either someone
be... That I will fight you on, because test cricket has gone from a five-day thing to mostly being finished within 3 days now.
Yeah, but that's just, but sometimes they may drag it out to five. Nobody wants to watch somebody block and be methodical about their batting throughout. I think we're more in an era of, instant gratification. That's why IPL and T20 are so exciting right now. So I really think, and it's probably going to be the harshest thing I'm going to say about test cricket, it's probably going to be on the way out pretty soon, because these other formats are way more exciting. Nobody wants to watch. Can you imagine if the test had a World Cup? That's going to take 100 days.
Well, they have this other stupid thing where basically we play six tests and England have played 18 in the same time frame. And ultimately, the final is always at Lord's, so England get a home test if they go play. But I almost feel like everyone's already so pissed off about that and it is so stupid. I'm even going to waste time going through the intricacies of how stupid that is.
Yeah, I'm really against test cricket.
What I will do, because we've just seen the milestone of Kuhisa Rabada getting 300 test wickets. The quickest to it, okay? And I know there's different permutations. He's not the fastest to it, but if you look at balls bowled...
11,862, if I'm right. And then
Least balls bowled for 300 test wickets.
Yeah.
Fastest. Mark that one off. The reason I want to bring it up is that milestone has a lot of gravitas because of the context of test cricket.
Yeah.
So now, when he's bowling and test cricket is going, it's fully going... You need context of why it's amazing. I think this is where test cricket has fallen away.
Yeah.
I still want to fight you that test cricket's on the way out. You're kind of right. But if you're a purist, you want it to stay because you understand the context.
Yeah.
So all those wickets, okay? Now you look at any other kind of format. 300 wickets is not a big deal. But in the test match cauldron, it's a huge deal. But unless you know that context, it's a bit of a so what. That hurts me. It hurts me to say that and concede that.
Don't let it hurt you. Move on with the times, man. I think
test cricket was so much to me growing up. And yes, as a 42-year-old male, I know it's a niche generational kind of thing, which you cannot get anyone else to understand. Yeah. It's like someone who's really into Teslas and you're trying to actually get them to understand what a naturally aspirated engine's about and why it's the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the modern era of cricket. We talk about, we had the conversations LIV versus PGA. It's the more exciting format, and it's going to grow. It's going to, get over it. But one thing I want to say about KG, whilst we're quickly talking about it, is the reason I think he is, it's such a big testament to him, it's because he's the only bowler with a strike rate below 40.
crazy good.
Which is crazy
if you
good.
Have a strike rate better than Alan Donald and Dale Steyn.
You know, and he's the quickest to get to it. So these are all, you know, testament to the athletes. I think before we even talk about everybody else, is KG has been sensational throughout his whole career. And I think we need to acknowledge this. As much as I slam test cricket and I think it's a dead sport, KG Rabada has been absolutely iconic when he, from beginning of his career to right now, because he's not old. He's still going to push, and I think he may be able to take Sean Pollock in enough time, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. That he will do. But it hurts that a talent that good will never get the plaudits that he really deserves. And I think that also kind of hurts. But again, it's an indictment on the game.
Yeah.
And it's obviously not him. It's not on CSA. It's the
everything. CSA, we can blame for anything. Let's blame CSA.
We probably can, because a lot of the times we'll be right.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's not like it outlandish.
Yeah, because they should be putting in more test matches.
So, yeah, I mean, like, and that's the reason I wanted to bring it up, because it was so bittersweet. Like, when Mackay and Tini got his 300 wickets, it was a big deal. We all celebrated it. It was at Centurion. When that happened, everyone got a free beer.
It was a thing.
Dale Steyn got it. Obviously, Pollock as well. When those things happened, it was really big.
Yeah.
Rabada got it. And it's like, yes, we fucking love the guy. So it was celebrated. But tomorrow, I was going to really talk about it.
It's happening in Bangladesh. There's no hoo-ha.
There's going to be a T20 series that's going to piss all over this.
And
the fact that it's a two-test series in Bangladesh.
I mean, who still has two-test series, guys? Somebody's got to win. We fought about this with Ireland and the Springboks. Somebody must win. It is sports. Guys, give us what we want. We are the guys who fill up the stadiums. Give us what we want. CSA, give us more test cricket if you guys are purists.
Well, CSA haven't got a say in this, unfortunately.
Don't they schedule games?
No, they get told what to do.
From where?
India.
Yeah, because they...
Come at me, India, but I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Basically, all these things are done around the IPL, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And then, again, like, this isn't even a slight on them, actually. It's all done around the money, and then they find gaps for test series. So, I think, again, I may be talking out of turn there, which might happen today.
Yeah.
But if you look at SA20, big priority, brings the money in, and actually boosts the profile of cricket in this country. So that'll start on January 6th.
Yep.
And that little section there is really, really important. So don't ever think we're going to get more test matches in that window, which is fine because Boxing Day, New Year's Day. But then it stops.
I think you're going to lead into what I wanted to ask you in terms of, do you not think, like football and all this other stuff, is this now the problem with cricket? Is that we've now become a money exercise? Because
so it's a good question, which I can pose another question to, and then we'll both get an answer at some stage, is that sometimes money really helps sport, and sometimes it really kills sport. I think cricket might be the finest example of how it killed the sport.
Checked it completely.
Because suddenly the power is in India again.
Yeah.
And I don't want to shit on India, because ultimately you need someone to always be in charge. Just read any sort of history throughout the world.
Yeah.
What they do with it is another conversation altogether. But cricket has just lost its soul in so many different ways that we now have all of these multitude of formats.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, there was a priority basis on
international
quality
cricket.
Of cricket. Mm. Now, it's the priority basis on commodity of commercials. Quality of commercials.
100%.
And I think when it switched like that, that's when cricket for me became a hard sell.
Yeah, you look at, you know, the international players who would either leave something in the tank, prioritize IPL because they know that, you know, the money is there. Whereas in the past, international cricket was the spotlight. You know, people like John Terrell, Shane Warne, you know, these guys knew that they had to showcase their skills at the highest level, which was international cricket. Right now, IPL and SA20 and, you know, you've got I feel like, and maybe it's just a, you know, something in me, I feel like people are leaving something in the tank just to make sure that I'm fit enough to go make it to the IPL. I'm fit enough for SA20, you know?
Well, you see all the early retirements from test cricket.
Yep.
I'm not focusing on any one format.
Sure.
You know, back in the day, and again, it's like my age speaks largely to this because I was a kid in the early 90s. So the Cricket World Cup in 1992 was the greatest thing you could possibly have. Because it was also like, it was fuck all else on.
Damn.
There was nothing else on, okay? So watch like delayed live on SABC or whatever.
I want to get into your age, but damn.
So those matchups would happen. Like Australia came over here. You knew who the fast bowlers would be against our batsmen and vice versa.
Yeah.
And that was cool. But then suddenly the IPL had all these matchups on tap. So where you'd ordinarily have the best Pakistani batsman against the best English bowler, whatever, whatever, you can get that every day in the IPL in a condensed speed dating form.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't have to wait for a test series now.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you're not going to get the best bowlers bowling each other, best batsmen.
Yeah.
Because they're playing a T20 match two months before.
And I think, too, what you were saying, that one of the problems I have now with all this cricket, because it's a lot of cricket, we get a shorter span of cricket players' lifetimes. You know, I see Quinton de Kock retiring so early because he's played so much cricket. Same thing with A.B. de Villiers. Everybody believed A.B. could play a little bit longer. You know, Jacques Carlos played till he was... You know, towards the tail end of
through,
like...
He went through two heads of hair. That's how long he played. Yeah.
And that is what's happening with... And we lose the quality when you're under, you know, oversaturated. But my biggest issue is... And maybe I'm going to localize my problem is... SA cricket's inability to keep talent. I mean, we've got major talent who always choose when to retire. You know, they don't want to finish off their careers as they should. I thought Quinny has got at least one more World Cup in him. He plays wicket. Mark Boucher played till the very end, till his knees gave out.
And
you know what I'm saying? But I feel like there's a lack of commitment. I don't know. Is this CSA politics? Because we've seen historically so many political issues come out of CSA. And it feels like our national team players just quit. Again, whilst we're ahead-ish?
I get that, and the easier thing is to rather go for the IPL or, like, other T20.
For the bag, yeah.
Like, go for the T20 bag.
Yeah.
There's a lot of merit that goes into it. There's no politics around it if you are talking about SA players.
Yeah.
And they can just do that. But, there's certain financial realities I'm totally fine with.
Mm.
But it's when the cricket itself really, really suffers. So, I mean, you know, from, like, if you want to go to a party, you want to know who the DJs are. Okay, that's the only reason you go to a certain party.
Yeah.
So now there's a T20 series coming up against, I don't know, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, India. They're all coming through here.
Mm.
But we're not entirely sure who that team's going to be. And that's a big problem. If I'm about to watch the Springboks, okay, I kind of know who's going to be there.
Yeah.
Siya Kolisi's going to run out. He's going to be backed up by all these kind of oaks. We get to see Chesson sidestepping somewhere like into oblivion. I don't necessarily know. And again, I could probably be a bigger fan and know this kind of stuff.
Mm.
But you never know what you're going to get. And the thing is, cricket and the package right now isn't good enough that you can just go and it'll be fine.
Yep.
And I feel like that's a big problem.
I agree with you. There aren't any bona fide superstars, especially for us in the pro tiers, who are, I want to go see Sean Pollock. I want to go see, hate to say it, Justin Kemp, knock a ball out for six, or Lance Klusener.
Yeah.
We're just playing a kind of guessing game, and I don't know if we're creating the marketability for, the marketability for the product for people who used to or want to go watch cricket, because then I might as well just go watch the Lions, and that's no slam at the Lions. You know, we had the guys here last week. But, you know, we need to go back to building superstars up. Otherwise, all they're doing is play 3-4 years, end up retiring, and there's nothing that, you know, marketability or sellability of you know, pro tiers cricket. And I focus on the pro tiers because KG is that guy, but I don't know if KG is going to be in the T20. You know, and that's what always happens. You know, we never have those people coming in, you know, consistency.
But it's also, okay, he's going to play, but what team is he going to play for? Because one season he's with the Cape Town, Mumbai Indians, whatever.
Yeah.
He might be a Sunriser Hyderabad next time around.
Jeez.
He could be a Chennai Super Lion. Fuck, it's too much.
And it's too much cricket, man.
I'm being hyperbolic here and all the stuff, but it's so hard, as you say, to understand what you're getting into. And as cricket has waned a little, every other sporting code, I feel, has really stepped up their game.
Yeah.
The marketing, I mean, we've seen it. We've used this example many times in the show. How the UFC packages what it does.
Yep.
These are oaks beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
But yet they've packaged it in such a way that's gone from being a blood sport to being a performance elite sport.
No, I
that's a job. That's well done.
I agree with you, but I also think it starts with basics. Can the pro tiers win something? You know, I think we... I'm just saying, like, we built superstars off those type of things. I mean,
Bafana
came third, and now we got players who are super recognizable, you know. And I'm like, we won a semifinals, and we just got over it. We're like, oh, well, we've got a, you know, we're playing Bangladesh, I think, the next week. And I was like, I don't even want to hear about the pro tiers, because it feels like that commercial team is not, like, clicking over. You know, who's walking out with, you know, Siya Kolisi with Rodriguez, you know? Is there any, I mean, are we going to take KG out? Or we like, it feels like we're just missing that aura, that superstar aura that the pro tiers used to have about it. Where like a Sean Pollock or, you know.
Hashim Amla, there were so many great names.
Yeah, there's so many greats. Now I'm just like, Tristan who Stubbs. Is that?
Tristan Stubbs.
I'm like, who's this?
Cal Verena.
Some random guy. And like, you know, if we're winning, I'm good with that. I'd be like, okay, cool. I mean, as a kid, who's post am I hanging up as a pro tier? Absolutely no one. So I think there's a whole huge marketability thingy. In terms of fixing the problem?
Well, I mean, look, there is no problem. I think the game, again, we are focusing quite heavily on the pro tiers here. The game itself is actually a problem. Just take it back before you get into that.
Yeah.
If you look at the game in total, there's obviously a lack of competitiveness that I think has really fucked the game a little bit.
Yeah.
Think back in the day when Sri Lanka was good. ODIs, the white ball cricket, they were almost the pioneers of it. Yeah. They won a Cricket World Cup.
Mm.
Okay. Those Oaks have had civil war. They've had all kinds of other things that have just absolutely screwed them.
First round is out of here.
Kind of gone, you know. So they're not a feature anymore. West Indies cricket, of course, we go back to the 70s. They won the first two World Cups. They were always great. They had all the fast bowlers. They were
crashed.
Again, resources and that kind of stuff, it happens in professional sport. They've also kind of fallen away.
Yeah.
But now, a team like Pakistan, who used to have so much talent, they've obviously had their shit, but now they are worse than we could ever comprehend.
Yeah.
Because they were always those guys with the flashy fast bowlers, swashbuckling batsmen. They've still got it,
yeah,
but it's too raw now. There's not enough experience. So now they're kind of falling away.
Yeah.
Which then leaves us looking at this thing going, okay, Afghanistan are emerging nation. Cool. Island are an emerging nation.
Bangladesh are
a floundering nation because they were going to emerge. So we're not looking at massive role players. Like, are going to then suddenly like stick it to a team over a test match or a one day or whatever.
Mm.
So I think the pool of elite is now also shrinking. And that's a massive thing because, again, it's so top heavy on the resources.
Yeah.
England, Australia, India are perennially going to kind of pull away because of player pools and talents.
Yeah.
Oaks are...
And County.
Oaks are hanging on for dear life.
Mm.
And then you've got, who else? They're desperately trying to make cricket work in America. That's a 15-year game.
Yeah, and I think it's always something we talk about is the investment into your local leagues. If you look at something like rugby and the Currie Cup, you look at cricket in England, it's county cricket. I don't think there is enough marketability on our local cricket game where people are like, you know, there's a lot of financial investment that I can just go make sure I have a great club career. Maybe you won't make an international career, but club career in terms of county cricket, that's why England, I always give them, you know, a lot of credit for that because they're back to their county cricket and it's always super exciting. I forget the T20 league in Australia.
Big Bash.
Another investment.
Huge. And for women as well, huge.
Another investment into that local cricket. I think we're only seeing it now with us, with the SA, you know, SA 20. I think they've seen that to get talent through, let's try to get these new guys in. But I still think there is a big click that we need to do in terms of our local game and our local club game as well.
But I also think, again, it's like we can't be great at everything, okay? So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So to try to spin it around, when you said how we're going to fix this, I think we've already seen it now. The SA 20 is... It's almost like the catalyst of like, what can we do well?
Yeah.
And I think that SA20 is awesome.
Yep.
Credit to Graham Smith, everyone involved there. I think it's a fantastic.
Greatest captain in SA history. That's my guy.
Reinvesting himself into the game.
Yeah.
Which is a huge thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're going to see it more and more with the rugby. Once you've hit the pinnacle as a player, you should be retained. And I know Cricket South Africa haven't always been great with that.
Ugh.
But Graham's, you know, he's committed, he's back. Mm. SA20 is a catalyst for this kind of change.
Yeah.
But we need to make sure that we do a few things very fucking well.
Yeah.
The rest of the stuff, we're not going to turn four-day cricket around. We're not going to make people want to go watch that. Test cricket, great. Boxing Day, New Year's Test, that must be our pinnacle and the ultimate thing for the home games.
Yeah, that's it.
We've got the pink ODI, but all of these things mustn't be taken for granted as the things that actually work. We need to make those better.
Yeah,
and constantly work on that.
I agree with you because, like I said, it's the Boxing Day. It's the pink day. Pink day, we can't drive in Colette, but I think we need to have more marketability about the other ones. You know, those can't be, we are a cricket playing nation. I think we need more emphasis on the other formats of the game in order for it to grow.
Totally get you, but I think it's like, keep using that as a forerunner and keep taking those learnings and slowly drip it down. Mm. We can't just suddenly go, okay, we're going to fix everything.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
So it's kind of like, okay, do we have emerging teams touring well? what countries they're going to, how are we seeing what's going on here? I think there should be a focus on that kind of stuff.
Retain some talent. How about that? It's the superstar. Give them the blockbuster contracts they want. We don't want to see guys retire at 32. We want to see them finish off their careers if they're results-driven. I mean, Quinton had a great World Cup. Okay. They're retired.
But look, unlike the Biden administration, we can't just make money. So sometimes we are going to lose Oaks, and that's unfortunately how it goes.
Yeah, man.
But again, I feel quite confident that what it comes down to, I can't disagree with you. They need to start winning some stuff, the Proteas men's team.
Number one priority, guys, that helps. Win some shit.
How do you win shit? By being good over a long time period. Okay, get your structures in order.
Yeah.
Get your team continuity up. Get the resources in the right places. Get the right sort of coaches
and
up.
Build for World Cups. We know we've got a couple of superstars we can build around. Build around that, you know. We've been talking for a very long time about bringing a strong spin attack. Let's do that,
obviously, depending on where you're playing.
Yeah, we lack some versatility in our bowling attack. Let's consciously build for that and moving into...
That's getting better.
Yeah, it's getting better.
But now what I would...
Sorry.
I want to get into how great the summary is that's coming up here.
Yeah.
So we have the Cricket World Cup 2027, the ODI game, okay? Yeah. So obviously... This is more of a cricket gripe that I have, is that we have too many World Cups. There's the T20 World Cup, and you throw in the women's game, there's a World Cup every single year.
Yeah.
That, to me, dilutes the fuck out of it.
Wait, there's another World Cup next year for T20?
When you combine the women and the men, there's a World Cup basically every year, right. And it gets a bit much, I think, if people really want to get into this game and get excited about it, because the World Cup should be high stakes, right?
Mm.
But we are hosting the men's 2027 ICC Cricket World Cup for the 50-over game. I think it's been put into Namibia and Zimbabwe as well. Okay, so now that's Operation 2027. I want to hear about it today. I want to see things being talked about. I want to see player structures. I want to see genuine interest.
Yep.
You get the buy-in of the people now. Like I said, we want a solution. I'm not going to have one today. But there we go. World Cup 2027. So during the SA20.
Everything is built for that.
We've got to treat this like our 2010 and really salvage the game around that. We've got this prime opportunity. And if we can win on top of that, amazing.
I mean, we've got to avenge Sean Pollock and Duckworth Lewis.
We've got more trauma than we have trophies.
Yeah, I mean, geez, we've got to avenge so many things at that World Cup. We've got to let Alan Donald, let the guy breathe and enjoy the twilight of his life, because every World Cup we blame him.
It's all over him, man. It's all over him. So look, we've got a really great summer ahead, like I said. We've got SA versus India. We've got a T20 series from the 8th to the 15th of November. Durban, PE, Centurion Wanderers, Akabeja. We've got SA versus Sri Lanka Test Series, 27 November 9 to December. Durban, Akabeja again. And then SA versus Pakistan, T20 Series, 10 December to 14 December. Durban, Centurion Wanderers. And then we've got SA versus Pakistan ODI Series, 17 December, 22 December. We've got Borland, Newlands Wanderers. And then the big clincher there, we've got the SA versus Pakistan Test Series. That'll be 26th December to January 7th, okay? So that's Centurion and Newlands, like we always love it.
I think that India Test is going to be huge. You know, just a recap of that final, you know, a lot of revenge. I hope they take pride in that and, you know, win that clinically 3-0. Let's go, Proteas. I'm backing you now. Come on.
Also, why are we not playing all four games at Centurion so 100 Clarkson can score 300 in all the games?
You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, and then the SA20 starts January 9th. So as much as we may be the rosiest people about cricket right now, which I think it's not just us taking pot shots here. I mean, I talk to a lot of sports people.
Yeah.
I get people sharing stuff in my DMs all the time, which is what I do within sport.
Yeah.
And the general consensus is I don't give a fuck about cricket. We've lost our way, and there's so many better things. I think there's still a life in cricket. Cricket's a fun game.
It is.
Because it's so fucking odd.
Yeah.
There's no game in the world that you have a lunch break and that you play day or night.
Yeah. It's a day and night game.
It's a team game, but only one Oak does something for a big chunk as he runs up with a ball.
And throws it.
It's quirky. It's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a great sport. I think we just got traumas from all our different, you know, heartbreaks. But I think it's a super awesome sport and we need to just back it. We want to be solution-based, you know. And
always.
And also, we are a cricket nation.
Yes.
You know, we've developed, you know, some of the best and greatest cricketers. I think all we're looking forward to is just a celebration of cricket. And 2027 is our goal. So I think...
Operation 2027.
Operation 2027.
Trophies, not trauma. Operation 2027. Be right back with your massive weekend sport ahead.
The bigger the head of your penis is,
yeah,
the more likely they found within that research study group to have premature ejaculation.
So where's the correlation?
Bigger problems. Is this erect? Is this erect penis or
erect,
just
yeah, erect? Okay. Erect. Okay. Yes. That within that study group, I read the study a few weeks ago, but yeah, the bigger your head, the more of vagina your head is feeling inside, or the more of mouth your head is feeling.
The more of anus.
Whatever, the more of nostril, the more of the sensation. That's how I understood it.
Yeah.
Guys, welcome back to the show. We're going to deal with the weekend's fixtures. We've got super exciting fixtures for the URC. We're going to start with the Lions versus Leinster. You know, Lions have outperformed, you know, undefeated. They're going to Ireland. I know, you know, Ben, wait before I continue now with my take. Why are you now drinking Heineken Zero? Come, let me know what's going on.
No, dude, every now and again, you need to go zero. I just feel I've been going quite hard in the last few weeks. You know, easing to a couple of zeros, just where I am right now.
Come on, you're selling out on me.
By that, he means, when he says going hard, he means on the tears, because Arsenal lost this week.
Yeah, okay.
Which means more beer, which means more tears. It was.
I love that.
James, it's endless cycle.
You've actually nailed this, like you were following me in the weekend. No, there were sorrows last weekend. Like,
I'm so
really
glad
were.
That you get to finally admit it. You're so being so tough in the beginning.
I know.
Now we get the truth. Now you got to drink Heineken Zero. Ben, I just want to quickly talk about, you know, Lions versus Leicester. It's the battle of the undefeated. Obviously, as a Lions fan, I'm going to back myself, but we all know that all that plethora of talent in that Leinster team.
Plethoric.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we can make whatever names. That Leinster team is hectic.
Yeah.
And it's essentially, as everyone keeps saying, it's kind of like the Irish team.
Mm.
And I think what makes it more interesting as well about this campaign is that obviously Lions, Leinster, only two unbeaten teams.
Yeah.
But Leinster have protected a little bit in the last few years. No major trophies. They know this is a big one for them. Leinster at home, yeah, I can't see the Lions doing it.
You're saying like foregone conclusion.
You never want to say that because it sounds so defeatist, but no, I cannot see any SA franchise team going to Leinster, a full-strength Leinster team, and winning there.
No, I agree with you. Okay, let's move on to Friday. We've got Benetton versus the Bulls, which is the highlight of Friday's fixtures. What do you think about the Bulls? How are they doing now? You know, it feels like they're slowly gathering some momentum. Could these refs
chill out though? 2 weeks in a row now, we've had rescinded red cards.
I mean, the lack of consistency is quite amazing.
Rescinded, like, can these Oaks just take a breath whenever they see the Bulls do anything and like not like just whirl it around a bit? You know, count to five. This red card business, it's the Bulls lost by 1 point last week.
Right.
Okay, I know, because I had a multiplier on and I had 8 calls and that was the fucking one that took it away from me. One, just that call.
I think you're becoming the Drake of betting now. I think we can pull that graphic off.
If these, relax. If these referees could just chill out for a second. The USC refereeing, for some strange reason, has been pretty trash for a while now.
Yep.
I don't know, normally,
feels like the EPL, doesn't it?
Well, a little bit, yes, yeah. Exactly. With those trigger-happy refs there with the red cards for dubious things. I just think that this Bulls team is quality. Benetton team, also quality.
Yeah.
If we can just get a bit of cohesion, and just like Arsenal, keep your players on the pitch, this Bulls team will beat anybody except for Leinster.
I think we also, you know, got to credit what the Bulls... You got to win some of these games where there have been bad calls against them. So I really give a lot of credit to the Bulls. I think they're going to be a lot easier, the refs, on this weekend. So, guys, that game is at half past 8.
What on earth are you basing that on?
I just hope so.
These referees are like feral cats.
I'm sure they have a committee where they, you know, they go through that. For you know, the purists of rugby and URC, we've got also Scarlets versus Zebra at 8:35.
Yeah, I'll skip that one.
Nobody really cares, so I'm going to move on. Saturday... it's your team. It's the Stormers versus
How
Glasgow.
How good were the Stormers last week, though? As much as I was crying about Arsenal, I was cheering for the Stormers.
Stormers versus Glasgow at, you know, 1:45. Anything you want to mention about your team before we move on to the other fixtures? Are you happy with their performances? I think, and I hate to jinx you guys, it feels like it's coming together. It feels like the excitement of... Are we going to win? Are we not going to win? Is kind of, you know, we're moving past
that. Where's their excitement? Because Damien Willemse.
Yeah.
Damien Willemse is incredible. Yeah. Apalele Fassi is incredible. Valile Roux. We have so much at 15, but then Damien Willemse can slot in at 10. He can play 12.
Yeah.
I think this Oak is one of those confidence players, and that he makes everyone else feel confident around them.
Yeah.
The Stormers pack is good enough. That backline is fire. I think they're definitely going to win this one. But Glasgow are just that really interesting team that they've, as the cliche goes, they play a full 80.
Yeah.
And by doing so, they're always pretty close. The Sharks, these Oaks.
Yeah.
You can see why they're not going to win anything. Like, they were great for 60 minutes and they just turned off.
Yeah. So we've got Sharks versus, you know, Munster at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Look, guys, Springbok side, part B. The biggest frustration I've always had about, you know, the Sharks is, will they turn it on with all their talent? I feel like they always believe that we'll get through, or we'll get over the line because we've got all this talent, and sometimes they just choke it. So, as you brought up, I think that's going to be such a big issue. And then we've got the rematch. We've got Leicester versus the Lions.
Well, hang on a second, okay? So Sharks versus Munster, of course. Yeah. These are all good points.
Yeah.
We've got to slow it down a little bit, because when the Sharks, it comes to complexities.
Oh, come on.
There's all these great players. How are they going to click? I think they've played bloody well, but clicking means, how do you play for 80?
Yeah.
How are you going to manage a box this whole season?
Yeah.
Now we've got the sideshow of the Siro Kolisi divorce happening. And I'm not just saying this because I want to, like, get clickbait here. We're not putting that in the title, James. Mm-hmm. But these are all little dynamics that this Sharks team does not need.
Do you drop him?
No, I don't think you drop him. But I think this Sharks team just needs a run of no sideshows, no injuries. As it is, they're going to have an international break coming up quickly, okay? Yeah. Momentum killer as well. The Sharks team is, for me, it's not going to be a top four team again.
Which is crazy, because you got a whole bunch of World Cup winners.
But I also feel this Munster game could be what actually proves me wrong. It's such a great game for the Sharks, because this Munster team is good.
Yes,
good. Even though Arjen Steyman's not there, this is a good Munster team. It's such a big game for the Sharks this week. It's such a litmus test of, can these Oaks actually be cohesive?
Yeah. So
I think they can be for 45 minutes.
I'm very curious if you bring Siro Kolisi back in. I think, for me personally, I think he becomes a distraction. With everything that surrounded him.
Look, he was good last week.
Yeah, that's before he had this whole scandal. It's a scandal either way, you know.
It's so harsh, Alex.
I'm just saying, I know he's the GOAT, but I'm like, maybe a guy deserves load management, you know, family matters break, you know what I'm saying, guys. He becomes a sideshow because if they do shank it, they're going to be like, was he mentally ready to play for the game? I just throw this out there as a thought starter, guys. We've also got the rematch, Leinster versus, you know, the Lions at 6:15. We've already spoken, you know, in depth about that. But that's just super, super exciting for URC, guys. Make sure you go check it out. And then we're going to start talking about the Premier League.
Great. I'm all for it. If you look at the log right now, you'll see that James's team is up front, which I think is so rookie.
We didn't have to.
It's so rookie to be this good this early in the season. I mean, look, it'll come back to bite them. The squad can't maintain this. I mean, look, I'm not spitting any huge truths. I think everyone knows this. It was so rookie for them to go out of the blocks this quickly. Man City, okay, we all know what they've got.
Yeah.
They're taking on Southampton this weekend, so there's guaranteed 3 points.
Blood on the leaves.
Sunday, we've got nothing really exciting. West Ham are hosting Man United.
Let's get them 3 points. See you guys next week with the same shirt, guys. Are we collecting 3 points?
See, this is your issue now.
Guys, don't worry. We're beating Fenerbahce this week as well. And then we're going to go get some 3 points as well. So, guys, don't worry. Man United fans, I don't need your prayers. I just need you to show up on your screens and let's talk shit on the timeline.
Kind of proven that without prayers, they're pretty shit. But, yeah, James, look, we've got to get into the only game you're going to worry about this weekend with the Premier League. Arsenal at home after beating Shakhtar Donetsk against Liverpool. Now, James, full credit. I mean, I think actually Liverpool are a cuck scary team. I know Mikaela was having a good go at you last week about the fact you're not attacking this and that. That team is, I admire Liverpool. I like watching Liverpool. They don't make as many mistakes. They're a good side. They don't have the huge superstar quantity other teams might have. But genuinely, tell me, what do you see this as a result?
Oh, can I jump in, James?
You got it. You go
don't
first.
Don't come in with your two ones that no one listens to.
I think you're beating the brakes off Arsenal.
Really? Like 4-5 nil vibes?
You've got to understand, Saliba, the best centre-back in the world right now, is out because he decided to concede a red card when he should have just chased back and did real defending. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there quickly.
Again, I can't fight that. It annoys me.
Saliba's out. And, guys, they have not been able to replace Odegaard. So that's, you know, the firepower in front has been, you know, compromised. And you can't run on Bukayo Saka. And one thing with Liverpool, They've consistently shown they can get goals at every single position that they have. So, James, I hate to say it. I'm going to give it 3-0. Go ahead, James. Sorry to steal your shine.
3-0 is interesting.
James, okay, so after officially having your thunder stolen, we need to get a quick prediction here out of you.
I got a quick prediction. Yeah. I'm still a little bit confused as to where Liverpool lost their goal-scoring ability. That was the criticism from last week. I don't think that's the truth still, and I think we can still comfortably go out to the Emirates. Probably put, I want to say 3-0, but I may even believe 4-0, to be completely honest with you. I may believe it's
going
to be...
You're going so hard, yeah. I absolutely love
whitewash.
It.
Whitewash.
This is great.
Oh. And you know, I hate to back Liverpool on this.
You know, at the start of the show today, this oak was literally glowing. I'm going to be that guy next week. I'm so excited about the fact I've been given license to gloat. Arsenal, you know what? 1-0. 1-0 with a dubious penalty in the 97th minute. That's all I want, because that'll be enough, and I'll be the happiest oak next week.
And we've also got a super exciting weekend of PSL football. We've got Pirates versus AmaZulu. We want to see if Pirates bounce back. We want to see what they built off.
Well, they beat SuperSport United last night, Tuesday.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Easy. So they've already bounced back.
Ish. You see, he's backing.
No context for these Chiefs fans.
Guys,
just straight
guys, hold on. We're getting to the Chiefs fixture. So Pirates are playing AmaZulu on Friday at 7:30. Then Saturday is probably, you know, one of the most exciting games. We've got a rematch of the cup tournament game that we had last week. We've got SuperSport versus Chiefs. Let's see. You know, like I said, this might be a great week for me once again. We might have a Man United win. We might have a kind of cheese.
These are the most fun things that I look forward to here.
And also, I'm going to throw it in. Los Angeles Lakers won this morning, so it might be a great week. And then, you know, we've got Polokwane versus Sundowns. Sundowns probably going to just walk over those guys.
Where does the delusion come from, is what I want to know.
Hope is sold for free. There's no store for
but
hope.
But it's also the hope that kills you.
I'm on the right side of hope for one week. Let me back myself.
It's the hope he doesn't put in the practice anymore. That's why it's double up in football. Okay. So the last big thing we're going to talk about on the show this week is UFC 308. Mm. So it's in Abu Dhabi, which means a very favorable time zone for us. Mm. It also means that you're allowed to fight with one eye. What? So in America, I know.
That's so confusing.
In America, anywhere else with certain confederations that have certain stipulations about being able to fight with full visibility, there's an oak. I always forget his name. Sharaputin Magomedov. He's this one-eyed sailor-looking guy, big ginger oak with a beard, and you can only see partially out of the one eye.
That's so dangerous, bro.
So he can only fight when they fight in Saudi or the Emirates, okay? But this oak is a machine. He's in the middleweight division. He's fighting against Armand Petrosyan. So that starts the main card in 308. Watch this oak. He is fucking awesome to watch. Then we've got Ankalaev versus Rachic in the light heavyweight. Ankalaev is probably the least marketable person in all of sport. That's why he hasn't had title shots yet, but great oak to watch. I think this oak is going to be someone that could fight Pereira and could have taken pretty deep. Then we got Lerone Murphy versus Dan Ige in the featherweight. And then this is what I'm most excited about with UFC 308. The co-main events, so there's a main event and a co-main event. I hate the way they do that, but Robert Whittaker against Chimaev.
Yeah.
So Chimaev, we know, he's unbeaten. He's like Leinster, unbeaten.
Aggressive as hell.
So dangerous. But who is he really beaten, if you really go back to it? He's been a welterweight oak. Yeah. Who's now fighting at middleweight. Mm. He beats Kamaru Usman on short notice at middleweight. He hasn't fought a guy like Robert Whittaker. And I tell you what, Robert Whittaker, everyone knew he was amazing. Losing to Drickers, I think, has made him so resurgent.
Yeah, I think it's put that fire back in his belly.
Yeah.
But I think just for me, it's going to be a great fight because, you know, how do I pronounce it? Chimaev. Sorry to butcher. He's undefeated and you've got to fight what's in front of you. And he's been clinical. I haven't said it the whole episode.
He's explosive and he's very dangerous. Yeah.
And he's super aggressive and he doesn't let in. So this is going to be a nice aggressive fight.
So the thing about Khamzat Chimaev is that I don't think there's a lot of great continuity within his camps. So if you look at the training that he's done, I mean, the guy's great, but he's had his health problems.
Yep.
He's had a few ups and downs. I think the guy's a bit of a disaster personally because he was friends with Darren Till, which tells you everything you need to know. But now he's got a new fight camp. He's training in the Russian hills where the wrestlers normally train. It's a bit all over the place. Robert Whittaker proven, and I think with Israel Adesanya out of the picture now, that was always his glass ceiling in the sport.
Yeah.
So I think the Cirque is going to be on a tear. I still don't think he's good enough to beat Drickus, and I would go Whittaker on this one.
Oh.
Main event.
Oh, yeah.
Ilya Topuria versus Max Holloway.
The Matador of the Matador.
The Spanish-Georgian Topuria.
Yeah.
He is so exciting. He is up there with my top three fighters of all time. I know that's a big... Because he hasn't been around for a long time.
That's crazy.
Love watching this, Oak. So he is the current featherweight champion.
Yeah.
He made light work of Alexander Volkanovski.
Yeah.
This Oak is such a machine. Like, he's very small. Holloway is going to have the height and reach advantage. Mm. And they're both great strikers. Holloway has always been seen as the best boxer in the UFC.
Oof.
The Oak's significant strikes landed and sheer volume that make an impact skyrockets compared to anybody else. Mm. But Topuria, in my opinion, is the absolute new kind of face of MMA.
Yep.
Him and Drickus started in the same event in the UFC in 2020. They pretty much had the same careers. They both almost talk about the same things about how they've manifested their champion stardom.
Yeah.
They're both from countries that haven't had a UFC. Mm-hmm. They both want to bring it back. They're hugely proud.
Yeah.
This Oak is just so damn exciting. He's so damn explosive. Mm. Max Holloway, clean, like flatlined Justin Gaethje in his last fight. He has the BMF belt, which, James, means baddest motherfucker. This is really one of the most exciting of UFC cards that we've had in quite some time now.
I think that's the main event. I think that is really true.
It really is.
Yeah. Because El Matador, you know, guys, he can hit. He is a true boxer. He is, once again, relentless. And also, when he hits you, they say, guys, the power in that punch will... We saw his last fight. When he hit that guy like was like, I don't know what's happening.
Well, it's a good point you make there because even though he's going to be smaller, now if you're watching off the fence here, you look at Max Holloway, you go, that looks bigger, I'm going to pick him.
Yeah.
Ilya Topuria has got such amazing striking power that him, when, I forget the guy's name now, I think it was about two or three fights ago, he had a fight camp and half of which was in the same gym as Gilbert Burns, who's a welterweight. And Gilbert Burns said that Ilya Topuria rocked up and he knocked Three Oaks out cold.
Slumber.
Just sparring. With the big gloves, he knocked three of them out cold.
Yeah, his striking power is crazy.
And then he broke spirits on the grappling, on the ground.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the future of the sport.
Absolutely agree.
And like I said, striking power, he's not afraid to take, and also he can take him. That's the crazy part. And you watch all his fights, he gets beaten. I think that might be his only weakness. If he gets connected really clean, because his defense sometimes is a bit spotty because of how aggressive he is on his striking. That's his only weakness. But if he connects...
It's true. He's only there to win. He's not looking for a decision. He's not going to points.
Yeah, he's not going to no points.
He's not batting for any draws, the Cirque.
I mean, we saw that last fight, that four-hit combo, KO. He said, that's it, sleep. That's what he's built to fight for. If it goes the distance, I worry about him because I think his defense may give in.
Okay, well, look, I don't think it's going to go the distance. I've got Topuria to win that within two. And of course, with all title fights, they get five rounds. I don't think it's going to go there. It's a bit like a pitch. It's a bit like a test match on a green wicket. It's not going 5 days, but the first three are going to be hugely exciting.
Yeah.
That wraps up for the show this week. Always like check in with us on social media as well, because you can get any kind of comments, no matter what it is. If you're watching something live, just tag us on social media, whether it be on X or Instagram. We'll pick up your comments in the show on the week following. Mm. Of course, the Springbok squad got announced this week. We're not going to touch on that now. We've got a big show, which is obviously previewing the entire Springbok tour. Mm. We are going to be thrashing Scotland, England, and Wales in that order with the strongest possible squad.
Hopefully, Billy gets some caps.
Next week, we are talking American sports.
Oh.
Should you be giving more of a shit about American sports?
Yes, you should be. NBA is back in season, and we're about to get into the business end of the NFL. So it's exciting time for, American sports. And go Lakers. We won the first game, opening weekend. So let's do that. And Yankees versus LA Dodgers in the MLB. We haven't had this rivalry in a long time. I know I'm probably throwing you off with all of this, but it's been almost 48 years since we had the Yankees versus the Dodgers, so that's super exciting for the World Series. So, yeah.
Thank you for joining me for Sandila's happiest hour on camera so far. Catch you back next week.
Sweet.